Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 358. As this week, we're bringing you the second hour of AWA Super Clash 1. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to Chicago, and remain preoccupied with 1985?
Does Mil Máscaras suck in his stomach?
I don't think it would be a Mil Máscaras match otherwise.
That's true. So yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, I want you to know, this week on the wrestling podcast charts, another big week in Ireland as we jumped another, as with Jim back, we jumped 47 spots on the wrestling podcast charts. And we're back on the list of most downloaded wrestling podcasts in the history of Ireland, back at number 57. So that was good. And we did well in Brazil. So we'll take those. That's great. We want all the other countries in on this too, including Cuba. I don't know what wrestling podcast Cuba likes, but I think this is definitely the time to sign on here and subscribe.
I have been to Cuba. I've actually met some lovely people in Cuba. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
You know who else was in Cuba? Fredo Corleone. He was in Cuba.
That's true. Yes. Poor Fredo.
I know. All right. And of course, we'll talk about this during the break, but patreon.com/waybackplayback. The month of July, very, very busy. We're doing bonus stuff on there. Plus, you get all 358 episodes. That's just a lot. So so thank you, everybody. Yes, I know. Thank you, everybody. We have like... we have 10 different episodes ranked on the, Ireland podcast lists, which is, and most of them have you in them, Jim. So that's, you know, that's something strong. So we're
thank
very,
you, Ireland.
Yes. All right. So this is the time. This is the point in the show where we go back and look at what was going on September 28th, 1985. And by the way, Jim, happy Money in the Bank Day.
Yes.
I hope you've gone and put your money in the bank. Like most of us do have.
Soon it'll be Money in the Blockchain.
That's right. Oh, Money in the Blockchain. That's a great idea.
There you go.
There's probably two indie promoters right now writing this down. So Money in the Blockchain. Excellent. Okay, so on September 28th, 1985, let's see, your New York Times bestsellers in the fiction category. It was Lake Wobegon Days by Garrison Keillor. I remember that guy. In its second week at number one. And Jaeger, in a nonfiction, it is Jaeger, an autobiography by Chuck Jaeger and Leo Janos at its 10th week at number one. So congratulations on that. And Jim, you didn't go with the obvious joke for that book title.
Jaegermeister?
Well, that's a good one. But, you know, the obvious, you know, go ahead and say Jaeger, an autobiography.
Jaeger autobiography?
Oh, what's it about?
Joe
Yes, thank you. That's easy. All right. The number one song on the Billboard charts, September 28th, 1985, for the second week in a row, Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
And Your Chicks for Free.
That's right. Classic. Absolute classic. The top movie at the box office, September 28th, 1985, in its 11th week at number one, Back to the Future, starring Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. 36 years ago.
And that movie's constantly played on cable. Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
It has recently been named one of the greatest films of all time, which means that the people who run the Academy Awards can kiss my buttocks because I know what's good. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. In the news on this day, the Soviet Union proposed cutting nuclear weapons by 50% if the United States would do the same. Oh, but that peace stuff, that's never going to last, though, so don't worry about that. Yeah. Major League Baseball, the game of the week, the St. Louis Cardinals taking on the Montreal Expos. The Expos win that game 2-0. It was the first game of a doubleheader. Bill Gullickson goes 8 scoreless winnings for the win for Montreal. Andre Dawson homered in the 6th to clinch it. However, the joke's on Montreal. St. Louis went on to win the National League that season anyway, and the Expos ran out of money and had to move to D.C. years later. Let's see. Oh, and a big day in college football as Eddie Robinson, the coach of Grambling, ends up tying Bear Bryant for most wins by a college football coach. Grambling upsets Oregon State 23-6. That made for a total of 323 wins for Eddie as head coach. But he ended his career with 408. As you know, Jim, the current record on that is currently held by Ted Lasso. So
I did not know.
I'm kidding. It's the record is actually held by a John Gagliardi who coached at St. John's College in Minnesota, who ended up winning 489 games as a head coach, and he only had to coach 63 seasons to do that.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay, don't worry. Don't worry. Nick Saban's going to get there, folks. So hang on for a while. Okay, so as we start here, obviously we lost Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff at the age of 71 earlier, I think on Monday. And, you know, I mean, we had known about all the health problems that he had had, but it's still, I mean, it's still a shock, I think.
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, Paul and his son Travis were at the Cauliflower Alley Club being honored, and they gave, both of them gave incredible speeches. And you can really tell that Travis and his dad were very, very close. And yeah. I kind of developed a little bit of a relationship with Travis, and I emailed him when I heard about his dad dying and just, you know, sent my condolences.
Right.
You know, he said something about everybody saw what a great wrestler he was, and I wish people would have seen what a great dad he was.
Well, that's, that's one of the nicest things you can say. I mean, that's one of the best things you can say about a man, I think.
Oh, God. You know, Pat, if from what I saw, if you could have the relationship with your kids half as good as the relationship that Paul and his son had, you would be incredibly successful.
Okay, well.
Which I'm sure you are, and I'm sure you will be. But the point is yeah. that, you know, Paul had been kind of going downhill for a little while, but Travis tells great stories, and it was just so nice to hear that side of Paul Orndorff. But what we're going to watch here is the other side of Paul Orndorff.
That's right. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to one of the more famous matches that set up an even more famous match. Type in Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff versus Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, and that will pop to the top. It is in the Hulk Hogan archive on YouTube. It is dated. Let's see, July 19th, 1986, and it aired on WWF Championship Wrestling, which was the main syndicated show at that time. And I am at 0 minutes, 0 seconds, and I'm staring at the profile of King Kong Bundy.
Are we all? Let's go.
All right. Let's do it, man. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay. Yep. All right. There's Studd and Bundy, as advertised.
Okay. So keep in mind that, you know, you didn't get, this is like one of the biggest matches ever on WWE Superstars.
Yeah, it is.
Now, this has been a culmination of a storyline where Paul Orndorff's been trying to get a hold of Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan's busy and doesn't answer his phone calls and isn't around. And Hulk Hogan is, you know, Mr. Orndorff is mad.
Yes, he is. And yes, we got him right where we want him, brother. Okay. Mr. Wonderful's ready. All right. Here we go. Oh, man.
I like the disco ball.
Well, yes. Bobby Heenan in the ring with his men.
I mean, Hulk Hogan rarely wrestled on Superstars.
Yeah.
And let alone against main event opponents. Right. Like Studd.
Yeah, this never happened. So you knew something was up right there. Well, that yeah. in the weeks of skits here. But I believe they're in Poughkeepsie at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, taped June 24th, 1986. Now, the Giant John Studd. Oh, very nice. Okay. Okay. And this is the last match they taped for the TV taping part of the show, which I mean, kind of hard to follow this. But just for the record, they did follow it with the dark match before sending the folks home happy. Corporal Kirchner and Nikolai Volkoff in a boot camp match.
Well, what more do you need?
Yeah, I know.
You notice Paul Orndorff came through the dressing room door first, yes. And that egomaniac, Hulk Hogan, walked right past him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because he's got to take the spot.
Absolutely. That's what he does.
Look how slow and methodical.
Yep.
I mean, geez, Orndorff is so telegraphic this.
Right. Now, I mean, yeah. Yeah, this is the I'm going running through the recap of this week of the week's episode. This is like literally the only thing of note on the show. So,
yeah,
obviously. Okay, and you got Vince McMahon, Jesse Ventura, and Bruno doing the commentary. All right, here we go. Orndorff's going to start us off with John Studd, and obviously Poughkeepsie, the Mid-Hudson Civic Center is on fire for this. Oh my goodness. All right, now John Studd does not want any of Paul Orndorff. That much is clear.
After WrestleMania 1 and Paul Orndorff lost the fall, Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton turned on Paul Orndorff, and he was a babyface, and he was hot for a little while.
Okay.
And then he cooled off.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times people in WWF, you got one run.
Yeah.
One run as a babyface, one run as a heel, or sometimes even just one run and you were gone.
Right.
You moved up the card, and then you moved down the card, and you were out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
okay.
When I saw this coming, I was really surprised.
Yeah. They were gonna go another round, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean they'd done Hogan versus Orndorff. Orndorff was, you know, the accessory for Roddy Piper, but
yeah, Orndorff was Hogan's first opponent.
Yeah.
When he got to WWE champion.
Right. Up. Wow, he's just cleaning house. He's cleared house on Studd and Bundy.
Bundy looks exactly like his LJN action figure.
Yes, that's true.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That 75-pound LJN action figure.
Having worked with Bundy, you know, I mean, not managing him, but worked with him on indie shows, I mean, his public persona and his private persona, pretty much exactly the same. Oh, there we go. Oh, drop kicks. Oh, my goodness. Look at himself for Paul Orndorff. Look at Heenan go nuts. Oh, look at this. And Hogan's like, yeah, see. Tag Hogan. Should I tag Hogan? Should I tag Hogan? Did he tag Hogan?
He tagged Hogan, I guess.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Tagged in.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so here we go. It's Hogan and Studd. Oh. Yep. Studd's officially gotten more offense in on Hogan than he did on Orndorff. Oh. And John Studd goes to the eyes. Oh. Yep.
God, Hulk Hogan's the only person in this ring that's still alive.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Including Bobby Heenan.
I know. Well, let's see. Yep. Orndorff's up on the ropes.
I mean,
yep.
The average age was the average lifespan for a male in the United States is about like 72.
Yeah. Orndorff made it to 71.
71, which, I mean, for a wrestler that lived in the 1980s, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, considering it first started in the 70s.
Yep. Okay. I don't know. All right. So, and I don't know why the YouTube gods are angry with me today, but they are. So, anyway. Oh, I didn't sign. Oh, okay. Oh, I know what it is. I didn't sign into YouTube. It's my own fault. That's my own fault. Okay. Anyway, match continues. Okay. Yep.
Do you want to pause?
Nah, let's just enjoy it as Hogan fights back. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. But I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, they're not heating up Bundy again. I mean, this is just, yeah.
No. Yeah, Hogan lost to Bundy, or Hogan beat Bundy in the cage at
WrestleMania 2,
you know, just a few months earlier in 86.
I don't think he ever did a long program with John Studd. I mean, Studd was more Andre's guy than anybody.
Yeah, but no, he's one of the Hogan's opponents when Hogan first came in.
Right. Okay, up, double team, up, not getting help from Paul Orndorff. Orndorff's not making the save, but he's acting very upset on the apron. And here we go. Come on. Nope. We gotta go. He goes to the eyes. Oh, goes to the eyes again. Oh, headbutt. Oh no. Accidentally knocks Orndorff off the apron, or got pushed by Stud. Oh, you hate to see it. So what? He hit heads with Orndorff. I guess that's a story. Okay, nope. The ref's not breaking this up. The referee doesn't look like he'll be breaking anything up. Ever. Oh, and Paul Orndorff's face hurts. All right, the referee is out of the ring. Okay. Stud and Bundy have already been disqualified, according to Vince, even though the bell hasn't rung. Okay, oh, here comes Orndorff to make the save. Yep. There he goes. Orndorff saves Hulk Hogan. Yay. All right, at this point, the fans are thinking it's not going to happen this week. And, okay, he helps Hogan up. And, yeah, I think everybody's seen this coming. Okay. All right. Yep. Oh, the clothesline.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
What in the heck was that about? Asked Bruno. Well, here we go. Oh! And Bruno's actually tagged with Orndorff in 86, so of course Bruno's upset. Pile driver and does the Hogan pose. He's like, come on in, everybody. Water's warm.
Yeah, and it makes sense because Orndorff would join Bobby Heenan, so it makes sense that he's got Bobby Heenan there ringside.
Yep. Okay. Rotundo, Spivey, CV Awful. Oh, no, King Tonga. Yeah.
Yep, CV Awful. Yep. The poor man's Jimmy Snuka.
That's right. Well, they're there to make the save. I don't believe that, says Bruno.
When I saw this, I didn't think that this would work.
Well, yeah,
it worked amazing.
It worked tremendously. I mean, they filled a stadium in Toronto for this.
They sold out everywhere, literally.
I mean, if they're lucky, they might draw a bigger crowd in Las Vegas as they drew in 86 in Toronto for Hogan and Orndorff. Look at the celebration they're going to have.
Yeah.
Adrian Adonis is hugging Orndorff. Yes.
Yeah,
everybody's selling. All the bad guys are celebrating. They're going out. They're getting a steak dinner. They're hitting the clubs in Poughkeepsie. And Hogan's buddies have to lead him to the back. All right, kids, don't go anywhere because Corporal Kircher and Nikolai Volkoff are next. Oh, there's Bobby Heenan. You did good. You did good, Orndorff. You were wonderful. Gary Spivey's going to pop up any second now.
That's right. You know, when he did that Gary Spivey thing, that was stupid, but I mean, his body had broken down and he showed a lot of, versatility, ability to laugh at himself and be a professional. So, I mean, I respect that.
Right. All right, folks. All right, fans. That's it. That's Paul Orndorff probably at his best. After the break, we'll get on with Super Clash 85. Okay. Normally, this is the part of the program where we talk about our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. For those of you looking to support the show, or maybe to get the entire archive of the show, all 356 episodes, or those of you looking to get our bonus material, which we try to put up now once every week or two, But Shane, obviously, we're going to talk about our friend Jim Valley. Jim is in need of a kidney transplant, and he has begun dialysis. So the Figure Four people set up a GoFundMe for Jim. It's over GoFundMe.com/F/Jim-Valley-Tunzer. As of last, it raised up to $70,000 because, kidney transplants aren't cheap. Neither were 3 months in intensive care that Jim had to go through last year. Now $650 and raised. It's gonna go to GoFundMe.com/F/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser, or just go into Google and search for, go into GoFundMe and search for Jim Valley, and you'll find it. Please, let's all help out Jim and Carrie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone step up here. Brother needs a hand, and he's had a rough go of it here in the last year or so. Everyone who can help him, please, please give generously.
Yes, this does not mean you can still go and you can still go and be on our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Yeah, Jim gets his half of the proceeds too from that. And it's got all of our shows, all 356 of them, and Jim has done a lot of bonus material with us for that. But no matter how you do it, just do it for Jim, folks. That's all we're asking here. On this 4th of July weekend, no matter what's happened this past year, I can look at it and say, I've got my health. I'm not hospitalized, and I'm not even a nice person like Jim is. So, please, please, everybody give generously, and thank you very much from all of us for doing that. All right, I think we're ready to go. We are at 46 minutes and 27 seconds, and I feel good about the listenership for this show because there's a Greg Gagne match on there, Jim.
Well, yeah, and Little Mr. T. I mean, come on.
Yes. Oh, that's yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that. Okay, we're about to. We got Little Mr. T is on his way to the ring. I'm at 46 minutes 27 seconds. You can't miss Little Mr. T if you're at this point, Jim.
You cannot. He's right there.
All right. So if everybody sees Little Mr. T. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. 4 big matches here to come here on Super Clash 1. And Little Mr. T getting into the ring to take on, I believe, Little Tokyo in this match for the prestigious AWA Midget World title. Excuse me, the AWA Proportionate Dwarf World title.
I think that this is just the what would we call, little person title. But I think it was an NWA belt.
Oh yeah, the announcer is saying it's an NWA belt. Oh
yeah.
Okay. I guess all the NWA belts are up for grabs, tonight at Super Clash. There he is, Little Tokyo.
But I don't think it's something that the NWA controlled. Look, if there's an actual physical title.
Yes, of course. Crazy, isn't it?
This is the only time I've ever seen an actual physical, the midget, what it was called then, the Midget World Championship.
That's right.
Assuming. That's what that title says. I mean, I'm an imagine.
Okay, so if you're asking why is Little Mr. T on this show, well, it so happens that the WWF is at the Rosemont Horizon the next night, and I know I told you that the main event they have scheduled for there is Hogan and Andre versus Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy, but I left out the important part, which is that Chicago's own Mr. T is scheduled to be in the corner of Hulk and Andre, whereas Bobby Heenan's going to be in the corner of Studd and Bundy. So... they brought that, so they have Mr. T, we have Mr. T, I guess was the idea.
And I don't know who this Little Mr. T is, who this gentleman is.
No, you know?
No, I looked it up, too. I was like, I don't know anything about this guy. The only Little Mr. T I found was the Haiti Kid, because he shaved his head.
Oh, I don't think it's the Haiti Kid, though.
No, it's definitely not Haiti Kid.
Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact, but I think there were several wrestlers who billed themselves as Little Mr. T.
No.
I think so. Right, exactly.
Okay. Hold on, let me see what I can do. Profile and match listing. And I'm not expecting a whole lot. Let's see. They don't have a real name for him.
Little Tokyo's wrestling in his wooden sandals.
Well, that's good. Well, there you go, because he's Japanese. That's what the Japanese do. They wear wooden sandals. Either that or he's Dutch. I don't know.
I think he forgot it because he just kicked one off and they just kicked him off.
He's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to do that.
Whoops, I forgot.
Pretty much, yeah. Is this the same little Mr. T that we saw at Wrestle Rock, though? I'm guessing. I mean, why wouldn't it be, I guess?
He looks different to me, but yeah, that wouldn't make sense. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think.
I don't know. I mean,
but, it might not be. Okay, let's see. There appear to be other little Mr. T matches, including little Mr. T in Puerto Rico. And I'm looking at. Okay. Well, you know what? That's a big question, but we'll have to leave it for some other time because I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of it here in the next 10 minutes.
If anybody knows the origin of this individual, let us know.
Yes.
Real Pat McNeil or at Jim Valley.
Yep. On Twitter, that's the way to find us here.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because we need to know these things, you know.
Yes, we do.
That's what separates this show from the other wrestling podcasts out there. That and the fact that we've been doing this gimmick longer, probably.
I saw little Tokyo wrestle several times when I was a kid.
Yeah,
they would bring a little people to town several times. It was usually Cowboy Lang.
Right. Was his opponent, yeah. As a matter of fact, Cowboy Lang and Mr. T were and Little Tokyo were in the ring at Wrestle Rock. So, Cowboy. Okay.
Yeah, Little Tokyo is a really good wrestler.
Oh yeah.
Hey, look at those facial expressions.
Outstanding. He knows
body language. Yeah. He's great.
Okay. There we go. I mean, I'm not sure, but I haven't seen Little Mr. T pause to say, "I pity the fool" or anything like that, you know.
No, I mean, to be honest, this Little Mr. T, other than the haircut and I guess the camo outfit, doesn't really have any Mr. T mannerisms.
No, and he's not. He's not the Haiti Kid. He's not Tiger Jackson in blackface. I have absolutely no idea who this young man is.
He's and he doesn't really facially even look like.
Well, no, that was probably too much to hope for, I guess. Yeah. Just like, you know, Tiger Jackson didn't really look like a bushwhacker. Or, I don't. Yeah.
He did look like Dink, apparently.
He kind of looked like Dink. Yeah, I'll give him that. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Oh, okay. Okay, that's interesting. There are pictures of a little Mr. T, or at least somebody who is posing as little Mr. T, like on the Hollywood streets that you can take your pictures with. Okay.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a wrestler.
That's not the same. That might not be the same guy. Oh.
It's kind of amazing that Mr. T, the star, didn't sue these people. I don't know.
Well, but the question would be then for what? I mean, you know. How much money do you think you're going to get in a lawsuit against the AWA?
Yeah, or against this individual.
Yeah. Right. Plus, if Vincent found out about him, he'd probably be like, well, if he's any good, let's bring him in.
Yeah, but they had 80 kids, so.
Yeah, they really didn't need him. You're right.
They shaved his head like Mr. T, so they already had a.
They felt they had that covered, yes.
Yeah.
Yay. And it looks like there's I'm on the internet where it looks like there's a promotional picture of Gary Coleman with like a Mr. T wig on.
Yeah, they dressed up together, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they were both cultural icons, both very popular.
And both working for the same network, yes.
Yeah.
Funny how that happens.
Well, that's like in 1985, the A-Team was very popular. I mean, think about Mr. T headlined WrestleMania, and he was still fairly popular.
Entire series is available for free on the Roku channel at the moment, by the way.
And there's a pro wrestling episode with Greg Valentine, Hulk Hogan, and others.
Yeah.
Check that out.
So that's good. Plus, there's apparently an entire season with the great Robert Vaughn playing a spy. So. The last season, yeah.
Did you watch the A-Team a lot? I did not watch the A-Team.
Oh, yeah, let's see. I did. I think I watched pretty much all the first season and then sort of, you know, And it sort of dropped off after that.
I watched a couple episodes. I was aware of it, but I didn't watch it that much.
Yeah, the thing is, they, you know, they get on the case, and somehow the episode always ends with them building an armored attack vehicle out of spare parts and like farm equipment and facing down the bad guys with that. But I mean, it's, you know, but it's a classic. Plus you have George Peppard, Dirk Benedict. You know, it's hard to go wrong with that, with those guys.
Right. Where are we going with this pointing up gimmick?
I think Fan Man is hang gliding into the building.
They're coming in these.
I don't know. This would have been a good time for skydivers to hit the ring, though.
Yeah. If it was Sky Dome, you'd wonder if people were doing it in the hotel window.
Yeah. Well, that's true. No. Look up. Oh, there we go. That didn't work on Little Mr. T. No, sir. Little Mr. T too clever for Little Tokyo.
Yeah. Little Tokyo, of course, the first wrestler from Japan to ever appear at a WrestleMania.
That's sad, but true, I believe, yes.
That is true.
Yep. And obviously all the Japanese photographers were there to cover it.
Of course they were. Yes. For those wondering, Mr. Fuji was from Hawaii.
Right. Plus, it was a while before he wrestled at WrestleMania anyway. Like, WrestleMania 5 was the first time he did it.
I think somebody posted that Tenryu and Katao were the first. I'm like, no.
No. Yeah. They should know better. Oh, my. The poor guy's getting his feet stomped on.
Yeah.
Should have kept the sandals on, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. I thought maybe he was going to hit him with the sandal, but.
Yeah.
Smell
it. Well, that would have made sense, I guess. Up, side headlock, take over, nicely up. You know what? Get them down on the ground. Work, you know. Get your breath. Work the head and neck.
I don't know if this is because it's a quote unquote world title match and it's supposed to be more serious, but for a little person's match in the 80s, this is fairly light on comedy.
Yes, it is. Well, probably it is because it's the world title, and that's, you know, and the world title still means something in 1985.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Little Mr. T is the number one contender, and as near as I can tell, he's getting a match in his hometown of Chicago, and he's using the butt, which is,
yes,
which Larry Nelson recognizes. Oh, went to the well once too often. All right. Little
Mr. T was from like St. Joe, Missouri.
Oh, they did? Oh.
Which I think is like where Lord Littlebrook and, because he's the one who booked all the.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think this must be part of like, sort of like the way Moolah booked the women. I think.
Oh, look little at that. Tokyo gets the win.
That's a fast finish.
Okay. Yeah, they just called out. Okay, it's over. Let's go. Somebody in the back signaled, hey, you know.
It's a long match.
Oh, just not good enough. Well, Little Tokyo continues his record-setting reign as NWA Midget Champion.
I was looking up the history of the belt, and they said they didn't really keep a good record of it.
You don't say.
So, yeah.
He's nothing to me.
And I guess Little Mr. T would eventually briefly win the belt from Little Tokyo. Little Tokyo, three-time champion, by the way.
Oh, we get a fast-forward in the WWE 24/7 version because apparently they like Mil Máscaras as much as everybody else does. Yeah, it is Mil Máscaras against Buddy Roberts.
How much can you see Mil Máscaras prance around the ring?
Well.
Which is what he did the opening 10 minutes.
Yeah. That is what he did.
Yeah.
That was especially. Oh, you got Bell head scissors.
There was a pattern to the Mil Máscaras.
Well, yeah. Okay. Now this is for the IWA World Heavyweight title. The IWA had gone out of business, what, 7 years ago, 7 years prior to this?
Like 10.
Yeah.
He still has that belt and I think wears and defends it today.
Hey, why not? Oh, there we go.
You know, I saw the Mascaras brothers live in person, Mil y Dos Caras, in Japan, and they took on Kaz Hayashi and somebody else I forget. And you know, some of those guys, Mil is like what, 70 something?
Yeah.
And Dos Caras is like late 60s. And you know, they were slow, but they did really well considering their age. And Kaz Hayashi and his partner sold their asses off for them.
Oh yeah. Made them
like $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have no doubt.
Look at Buddy Roberts here. Buddy Roberts is making this match.
Right. And Buddy Roberts doesn't get a lot of credit for, you know, for his in-ring work, but here we go. I mean,
Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy get all the glamour.
Yeah.
But Buddy Roberts, he did the yeoman's work. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, the main thing I remember from recent years is literally every time Alberto Del Rio was in a match in WWE, JBL felt obligated to point out that he was related to Mil Mascaras, and I'm pretty sure JBL didn't mean it as a compliment. So,
you know, in that match that I saw, Dos Caras was actually better than Mil.
Well, yeah.
But Mil is just kind of, I think, a little bit more spectacular and got there first, and so was more famous.
Right. That's sometimes that's how it works.
Yes.
Well, here we go. Another stretch hold.
Yeah, that's not the Inoki octopus.
No.
Does the surfboard a lot.
It's not the chiropractor stretch.
No.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, I mean, you know, try doing different things. That's not necessarily bad.
I will say that Mil Mascaras look cool in all the magazines.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with, yeah. The outfit's good. Yeah, the outfit works. The masks, yeah. The gimmick works. It's just, if once you've seen them, you've kind of seen them. I don't know what's going on in the crowd, but, yeah.
But I mean, he was a touring attraction, like right. Andre and Dusty and the world champion. Mm-hmm.
Another choke with the tag rope.
I don't know that he drew here, but he would draw in Texas and other places.
Yep.
Japan. I mean, he was a huge draw, a huge worldwide star.
All right, well, here we go. Going up. Oh. Okay, I guess that's the older school. Rope walk on the second rope.
It's Buddy Roberts by skipping school.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yep. Oh, look at the power on Mil Mascaras able to push him off like that. Okay.
So, wonder if Mil Mascaras ever gave money to Bill Apter for all the coverage you gave him. He should have.
Yeah. I don't know that he did, though.
I do. I will say this at Cauliflower Alley. Mil Mascaras was there 1 year and was just taking pictures with people for free. And,
right.
And God, that guy could charge if he wanted.
Of course.
Charge a lot. I mean, a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a picture of Mil Mascaras. He was very nice.
Well, that's great. And remind the good people when Cauliflower Alley is this year.
It's coming up September 13th.
September 13th. Okay.
September 13th in Las Vegas at the Gold Coast.
Go to Cauliflower. Time to make your travel plans.
CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. And they were nice enough to do an article on me in the latest edition of the Ear, their newsletter.
Ah, okay.
It's very nice.
Cauliflower, the Cauliflower Ear, yes.
Yes, get it? See the Ear?
I got it, yes.
Yeah.
All right, tie them to the 3-0, Jim.
Yeah.
Or something like that, yeah.
Dusty and Mil did not get along, surprisingly. Mm. Oh, wait, that's not surprising.
No, it's not.
Two big stars, two big star egos. Yeah. Not a surprise.
All right, let's try it again.
These matches are better than was it Wrestle Rock we saw?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, God, and the number of international stars you get to see on this show.
It is amazing.
You know, the big three stars from all Japan.
Right.
You get to see world titles. Yeah. Kerry Von Erich, the Road Warriors, who were red hot.
Yep.
I mean, my God, this is a super, super card.
It is.
By wrestling standards and by 1985 standards. There it is.
Right.
It's a beautiful flat.
All right, there you go. I mean, yeah, if you're going to hit that move, it might as well be the finish, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. It's a beautiful press, I will say that.
Yep. Okay. And you got, and you know, fans got, you got to see Milton Askers. You got to see him hit his finish.
Got to see Buddy Roberts make him look like a star.
That's right.
Jeez, Buddy, I mean.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Look at those guys. Yeah, no kidding. Jeff Foxworthy. Jeff Foxworthy and Billy Idol.
They've had some jumbo beers.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of jumbo beers, let's take a break and stand around as we Milton Askers. Yes.
Can you talk about food? I see on the mic. What? Hello?
I almost saw his lips move. Yeah, good wrestling. Yeah. You should have asked for an interpreter.
Should have asked for someone just to talk louder.
Yeah.
I mean, his English is fine.
Yeah. Can't hear him.
Yeah, you just can't hear him. Just like,
hi.
WWE Hall of Fame. It's like, speak up, dude. You're a legend. Yeah. I want to hear you. Okay.
Here we go. The Texas title on the line.
Listen to this crowd. Listen to this crowd. Look at the throwing roses.
It's Kerry Von Erich, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he knows all about Jimmy Garvin. He's going to do it for himself, for America, and for Mike Von Erich. Okay, now I'm sad. Jeez.
Oh, my God, that may be the best promo in Kerry Von Erich's history.
Yeah. I mean, that's everything he needed to say right there.
Got it.
Oh, we're going to fast forward through Jimmy Garvin's entrance? Oh, come on.
Hello.
How do you deny us that?
Probably because they don't want to pay you the rights to Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I guess they got this part in, so.
Hey, listen to this crowd. I think Kerry Von Erich helped draw this house.
Yeah. And there's Precious.
His valet.
Reigning Texas champion. I don't know that he is the Texas champion.
I don't think that he is. I agree.
Yeah, but I think, we just covered it. Brian Adias won the title the previous night. Yeah. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's Kerry Von Erich.
No one cares.
How about this? Kerry Von Erich, former world champion. You know, that's all you need. Oh, listen to this. They don't like each other. There you go, Larry. You got it.
So a couple of things to keep in mind. So this is 1985.
Yes.
Kerry has not had his motorcycle accident.
No, he hasn't. So.
You'll see that his boots match,
right.
And there's no fringe to cover up the fact that one boot is thicker.
Right.
You'll also notice, he's a different wrestler.
Yeah.
Than what you saw as the Texas Tornado. Or after 1986, but it's actually impressive that how close he was able to come to his old level, given that he wrestled on one foot, and that is to his credit.
Yes, it is.
And also, so this is 1985. Kerry was briefly world champion the year before.
Yes.
He is red hot, like I said. He is outside of the WWF. one of, if not the most popular wrestler.
Right. And I think you're right. I think part of the draw was the curiosity of, hey, Kerry Von Erich's coming to Chicago, you know?
Kerry Von Erich's
draw. In addition to all this other stuff that's on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a big deal.
Yes, it is. And he's taking on the number one contender for the AWA title. Oh, wait, I'm not doing that right now.
Look at that strut by Kerry Von Erich. I mean, Kerry's, yeah. I think, clearly, yeah. I mean, he had substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
But maybe they haven't done as much damage yet.
Well, I mean, plus it's Jimmy Garvin. He knows, you know, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's worked Jimmy Garvin before. He knows what he's doing here. I mean, the familiarity's got to help. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he got full extension on that dropkick, Jim. Okay. All right. Well, got him from behind. No. Okay. Oh, the discus punch.
Well, we're by the ropes.
Yeah, well. Oh, the guy's got the flip-up aviator sunglasses in the crowd. That's how you know you're cool.
It is. And that guy's standing up. He's very excited.
Yes. It's
Kerry Von Erich.
Come on, Jimmy. Is that Conrad?
It does look like Conrad, doesn't it?
It does, kind of. Yeah. Hi, Conrad. Apparently, I got mentioned on one of his podcasts.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, well.
What did you do?
I don't know. I'm told Jeff Jarrett, they were talking about dirt sheet guys, and Jeff Jarrett asked if I was still around.
Huh?
And Conrad did not give the correct answer, which was sorta, kinda. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
that's not the correct answer.
I think that is the correct answer. No, sorta. Yeah.
Geez, you got two kids, of course. I mean, that is.
Yeah. Well.
Got priorities.
Well, at least Conrad didn't mention some of the stuff that I'd written and sung about Jeff Jarrett in the past. So that was nice of Conrad not to do that. All right, here we go. Abdominal stretch.
Yeah, Conrad would have been four here.
So yeah, well. So maybe that's not him.
Probably not.
But I mean, let's be honest. At a lot of arenas, there's a guy who looks like Conrad in the front seat somewhere.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Pretty much every sporting event.
Well, yeah. Except nowadays he's in the skyboxes. So. At sporting events, that is. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Headlock. All right. Come on, Kerry. Kerry's, this is a very difficult hold to break or to get out of. I don't know. I don't think it's the Weaver lock, though, but, you know.
What is?
There we go. Just powering out like Kerry Von Erich does.
I mean, listen to how loud, how high-pitched the screams are. There are a lot of women.
There are a lot of women interested. Yeah.
Screaming for Kerry Von Erich.
Yes. Getting berated by Precious. So Garvin's distracting the referee so that, I don't know. Oh, he's breaking the count? I don't think that's, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. Okay. All right, so I guess you can't win the Texas title on a count out. So there we go. Well,
and World Class is still part of the NWA.
Yeah, I guess they work together on Pro Wrestling USA, although. Yeah.
This is probably just a booking through Fritz, but
yeah. It's one night off the road. Yeah.
I mean, Fritz was a former AWA champion, so, I mean,
right.
He knows Vernon.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, get your son a payday. Understood.
Wild, those classes are great. Oh my God.
That's amazing.
In 1985, that guy was the coolest.
Yes, he was.
Hey, what is up with that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Why do you walk by and body check Gary Von Erich?
I don't know.
What was that about?
I'm not sure.
There was room for that guy to move.
Yeah. Maybe that guy's a friend of the Freebirds. Who knows?
That's a jerk move. Yeah, he was. I know what it was. He bumped into him and he planted drugs on him for Michael Hayes.
That's what it had to be. You're right. Oh, there we go. Wow. Double discus punch. That's it. Oh. Amazing Garvin got up from that. Look at that. Young Aaron Moran is in the crowd. Huh?
Yeah.
Good, great.
It's home perm night at the ballpark.
Yes, it is. Well, I think home perm night was last night. First thousand in attendance at the White Sox game got a free home perm.
Clearly they went.
Yes. And they had some left over for Jimmy Garvin, so that's nice. Oh, here we go.
Battle for the claw.
He wants to, no! Oh. And now, Garvin ready to take advantage.
But world class is still part of the NWA, so
oh, you can't
put the title on a disqualification or a count out.
That's true. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
That's a three count. Hey, man.
Kip, don't hassle me, man.
Yeah. Don't tase me, bro. All right. Oh, no. Precious is very, very upset. Hey. Oh, no, an attack from behind by Jimmy Garvin. It's not over yet. Okay, maybe it is. I was got the claw, and he's messing up Garvin's hair. Well, that should do it. Yay! Tremendous win for Kerry Von Erich.
Much like Buddy Roberts, his job was to make Kerry Von Erich look great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, people paid to see Kerry Von Erich.
That's true. Undisputable. Hey. I mean, I like the shots of the kids and the young women. I just wish they wouldn't, you know, wish they wouldn't do them during the actual match. And now apparently I'm getting a Liberty Mutual commercial. So hold on just a second, Jim. I don't know.
Sure, I'm getting an interview. Careful, Nick. Can we need to pause?
Let's see. I think we're going to get back to it. No, excuse me. Maybe we're not. Okay. Right.
Let me know. Back to the interview. Yeah. I hit pause.
Okay. Vacation rental by owner. I'm skip ad. All right. So. Okay. There we go. Now he's coming down for his interview. All right.
Okay, let me know when he gets.
There's Larry Nelson, and he's got him.
I'm at 116.53.
Okay. Okay. So 116.44, 45, 46. 47, 48, 49, 50. Yes. Oh. Chicago, he told in Chicago he will be back.
Yep.
That's right.
In the gray area.
As long as the check clears, he'll be back. I agree. Oh, look at that.
Back.
Yeah.
Think about this. Right. I mean.
Wow.
Look at all the girls. Look at that.
They're very excited. They're almost as excited as they get for Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah, they're getting horny for Ray Stevens.
That's right. Oh yeah, this is our feature for this week, kids. And what a feature this is. Nick Bockwinkel, Ray the Crippler Stevens, and Larry Zbysko. Yep. That's right. Okay, so you ready for this? Another 6-man tag? Second in 2 weeks? And look at this trio. Greg Gagne is too sexy for that shirt.
Wow.
Yes. Scott Hall, they're scared of your perm.
I love Scott Hall when he was on Brawny Paper Towels.
I know. He was fantastic. Best lumberjack ever. All right. It's Hennig and Hall and Gagne against Bockwinkel and Stevens and Oh, he's the lone wolf, Scott Hall, I guess.
Babyface Kurt Hennig was such a dork.
Yeah.
Good God. So, if you're figuring out what the deal is with Greg Gagne, he was part of Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Corps.
Yeah.
And they did some videos where he was running through the woods training with Sergeant Slaughter. And he's also dressed. It's sort of inspired by Rambo, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yes.
Which was a popular movie at the time.
So yeah, Greg Bo is here. And here to introduce. Oh, Jack Brickhouse is here to introduce this match. Hi, Jack.
Wow.
Hey, there we go. They went all out.
As a legend.
Yes, he is. Chicago sportscasting legend, Jack Brickhouse.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. It's so great to hang out with the young people. Here, I have a hard candy for you.
I remember Gotch Hackensmith.
Boy, this is making me reminisce.
What is he saying?
This takes me back to the days when wrestling was real. Yeah. This is taking me back.
They televised wrestling 3 nights a week.
I know. Yes, those old days. Back when wrestling was popular. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, oh,
Real Perlman's in the crowd. Hi, Real. Nice to see you. Along with the late Rush Limbaugh, yes.
There's a Barbara Mandrell in the back.
I see her. Oh, my goodness. Yep.
I get young Glenn Gilberti in the black.
Oh, yeah.
That looks like Disco.
It does look like him. All right. Here we go. Let's introduce all six of these guys. All right, my old friend Nick Bockwinkel. Thank you. Oh, good.
An old friend. Way to say it with the bad guy.
That's all. That's not like Jack.
Shut up, Jack.
Yes. Yeah. His partner, 250 pounds from San Francisco, California. He looks like he was driving the pickup truck outside. Ray Stevens does not look like a Hall of Fame wrestler at this point.
No.
Yes.
He's broken old.
Larry Zbysko looks like Larry Zbysko.
Yes.
Except younger. Okay. Let's meet the opponents. Yes. Yes, Greg's dad asked me to come. That's thanks, Jack.
I'm not sure, but I think he's introducing the Village People.
Yeah.
He's got a cowboy. An army man? Yeah, it's like our team's.
Well, where's Chief J Strongbow? Round it out.
They just need Tatanka and the big boss man, and they're set.
All set.
Oh my God, this guy.
Oh my God, it took him like 60 seconds to remember. It either took him forever to get to the point, or it took him 60 seconds to remember Vern Gagne's name. I'm not sure. Oh, Greg Gagne, there we go. Hey. Thanks, Mr. Brickhouse.
I should have gone last, but okay.
Yeah. Yes. Kurt Hennig. Well, let me tell you about Kurt's dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about the strip club where Scott Hall used to work.
He kept me from getting thrown out this one night. Right. Oh, Larry Lasowski is the referee, son of Crusher Lasowski.
Jeez. Wow, Jack goes way back.
Yes. And let's not forget our timekeeper.
You know, I was, I went to Eastern Washington to visit friends of mine and stopped by the house of a guy who like used to work with years ago.
And Jack Brickhouse was still giving that introduction?
He was still talking.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he was still doing his intro.
Yeah.
But he was from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, God, he remembers all those guys.
Okay.
Oh, those guys. Right. I mean,
I'm probably a little behind you because of the brief commercial interruption, but that's okay. We got, here we go.
I've got a lockup with Bockwinkle and Hennig.
Yeah.
What do you get?
I got, but yeah, Bockwinkle starting it out with Kurt Hennig, yes.
For me to pause?
I didn't miss much.
Okay.
I didn't miss too much. All right.
You know, I always thought Kurt Hennig in this stage, short hair, baby face, Kurt, was a dork.
Yeah, kind of was. I
didn't really like, he was not one of my favorites. When he became a heel, he was slightly more interesting.
It took going to the Fed to bring out the personality in the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw probably most of Kurt Hennig's career, mm-hmm. if not all of it.
Larry says there's something going on in the crowd that I can't see. And Bockwinkle's like, okay, let's slow it down. Let's wait until we're done.
Bockwinkle's really smart.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
I mean, just Bockwinkle's in incredible condition, too.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's like 50 here. Of course, he was born 50.
Yeah, well, he'd be a main eventer in the current WWE, yeah.
It's true.
He'd be taking on Edge at SummerSlam.
He's about as old as Edge right now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Larry thinks Nick Bockwinkle may be the most arrogant man in the world. Yeah. All right. So yeah, this is the next generation guys against the old pros.
Of course, Greg Gagne has been wrestling since the 70s, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So is Larry Zbyszko.
Well, yeah. All right. All right, let's tag in Zbyszko. Yeah, good bet.
Has Scott Hall even been wrestling a year?
He might, probably, but not much longer than that if he has.
Yeah, 85.
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember it before 84 or 85. I mean, I don't.
All right, Larry Zbyszko. This is Larry's feeling out process, which usually goes for Larry's entire match, by the way.
Larry's still waiting to lock up his first match.
Yeah.
There are battle royals that he's still under the ring for.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely get Larry's book if you haven't, Adventures in Larry Land.
Oh, really? I heard it sucked.
I got information. Yeah, I had fun with it.
Really? What'd you have?
Well, let's see. Okay. Well, he tells a story about coming back in 86 and, we're getting on full time and Vern is tearing out the office trying to figure out where Vince McMahon has hidden the listening devices. And he's like trying to dismantle light fixtures and looking, opening up the phone to see if it's bugged. So, yeah. So 6 weeks later, his booker, Blackjack Lanza, leaves to go to Vince. And then he sort of figures out how Vince has been stealing all his wrestlers. Also Larry's explanation that when he called the syndicated shows and he's in the studios with Cruz or whoever, he would bring in like a packet of dollar scratch off lottery tickets and he'd be scratching them off throughout the entire show. So anytime Larry would randomly go and we have a winner, that's what he was talking about.
That's funny.
I mean, he didn't, I don't think he took that, I don't think he took his time as a WCW announcer all that seriously, but, well, actually, let's say he probably took it as seriously as he needed to. Oh, there we go. Bockwinkle stooging, nice. All right. Scott Hall working the arm.
You know, I wish Scott Hall was in better condition, because it'd be fun to have him show up in, like, Chikara. Yeah. Dressed in like this gear.
That would be something.
Like do like his old retro big Scott Hall character just from
tape, yeah, get the Ron Burgundy tape mustache over it. Yeah.
Yeah, just do a Hollywood makeup mustache.
Yeah.
And just do it. Even an appearance like that would be funny.
Hear what? Oh. Yep. There we go. Ganya works over Larry Zbysko in the corner.
You know, I'll bet you. Got even for pictures. He should do that one time.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll bet you. You could probably make a little bit of money. What, like a one time only? I'm going to be dressed up in my cowboy gear with a fake mustache. And that would be, you know.
Bring Nash. You can dress up as Vinny Vegas.
There you go.
Yep.
That's actually a good idea.
Right.
So, I mean, how many people probably already have all the NWO pictures?
I would think most anybody who wants them has them by now. Well, I mean, we can't be sure. We're going to find out more as wrestling comes back and they go around and actually tour again. Have live crowds. Get them with I think LA by, you know, all things go well, LA by WrestleMania time should be an absolute nut house.
Yeah.
Not that it isn't already, but
yeah, it's supposed to all the other times.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean full of wrestling fans this time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, because, you know, because the fans have taken like 2 years off of the annual WrestleMania trip, and they'll be ready to, you know, do stuff.
By the way, I forgot we were prophetic. Remember back when we did the bull rope match, and we said there hadn't been a four corners match in a long time,
and then in Cody and QT Marshall.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Well, I mean, and of course, and they use the same finish. So.
Well, there's only one finish.
I know. I know, but they. I mean. You would think they wouldn't need it for that match, but I guess they did. All right. Oh, boy. There we go. All right. So, Ray the Crippler, Ray Stevens is in now. Hey, hey.
Now, Ray Stevens, yeah. Universally considered the best worker of the 1960s.
Right.
You know, I wish we could see more of him. He's not really doing anything. His match, probably because
he's, no, he's not
old and broken down, but
yeah,
and broke.
Yeah,
he did not save any of his money and lived like a wild man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture online of him riding a motorcycle naked.
Okay, well,
you don't see anything, right. But he's riding it naked. God, I can't. That'd be painful.
You would think so.
I can't. I don't think I've ever ridden a motorcycle and thought, you know, this would feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to ride a dirt bike with no support. That would be great.
That's fantastic, yes.
I would feel really good.
That sounds like the worst Hanes commercial ever.
Yeah, that sounds painful.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, I like the fact that Comiskey Park has got a Jumbotron, which is basically the size of my television.
Oh yeah, that's what you had back then. Yeah, I mean the Jumbotron was designed by that's the RCA Jumbotron.
Yeah, think about that. You probably can't even barely see it from those seats.
I know. Yeah, but that's what you were dealing with. That's because they were using like an actual picture tube for that. Kids, Google picture tube. I don't have time. I'm sorry.
Damn.
Okay, they're stretching out. Kurt Hennig taking the heat.
Hey, Stevens used to throw a good-looking punch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stevens and Bachwinkle were a great tag team.
Oh, yeah, the greatest, possibly. Oh, no. There we go. Okay, you're a few seconds ahead of me, but that's okay. Because, yeah, they're working over Hennig.
Okay, I'm going to pause it.
No, it's okay. Not a big deal.
I'm going to pause it exactly 133.
Okay, so hold on. Let's see. 20. At 132. Oh, 51, 52. Okay, here we go. 53. I'm sorry, people at home. 56, 57, 58, 59. Okay, go. And there we go. Suplex, there we go. Cover. All right. Gosh darn it.
You know, this is not a bad card at all.
No, it's not.
For the time?
Yeah.
These are all, I mean, these...
It's a different style of wrestling, folks. People are criticizing it in 2021.
There's a lot of action. I mean, there's not a lot of innovative video game style moves.
Yeah.
But
why would you be going into this expecting to see that, you know?
There's a lot of action. I mean,
right.
There's not a lot of side headlocks for 10 minutes or arm bars for 15 or something. There's a lot of action.
I don't want to see that anyway. So
I'm very entertained by this show.
Count. I'm going to save.
This is a good show.
Yeah, Ray Stevens makes it in to make the save.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah. This is fun.
This is 100 times better than Wrestle. Wow, look at that bump by Hennig.
Well, it's hard to be better than WrestleRock, though. You got to admit.
Those matches sucked.
Oh, okay. Some of them were fun.
Well, they're all fun, but there was not a good match among
them. Well, let's see. Midnight Rockers against Summers and Rose.
Oh, yeah, but that's pretty slow. Upgrade Gunny's on fire.
Oh, here he goes. Yep.
Okay, what's
up? Look at old Rambo. There he goes.
I like the yellow boots. That really helps.
It sets it off, yeah.
What is that?
That's camouflage. I don't know where that's camouflage. If you're on a banana farm or something, I don't know. Yeah. What do you want? He just looks cool. Okay.
Yeah, boy, that.
Just let him look cool.
So bad. I don't even think those are camouflage pants. Yeah. Those are like sweatpants.
Hmm. Hey kids, guess who's the promoter's son?
You know. I mean, having Greg Gagne on the card is fine.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It is fine.
I feel like he was
this is the spot to have him, you know.
Yeah. He wasn't world champion.
Right. Paul's got it. Oh. And Ray Stevens takes the pin. I think it's Ray Stevens taking
the pin. Yeah, it's Ray Stevens.
All right, so for Scott Hall.
Wow.
Scott Hall beats a legend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had big plans for Scott Hall.
Yeah, they did.
They wanted Scott Hall to be their new Hulk Hogan.
Right.
That's what the plan was. And Scott hated, shocking, guy from the Florida Panhandle, hated being in Minnesota. Shocking.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. Yep. Larry's one of the things Larry Zbyszko talks about in his book is, you know, does not wanting to be in Minnesota in the winter.
Yeah.
Which is why he lives in Florida today. So go figure. All right. And, of course, now I'm being greeted by an ad for vacation rental by owner. Okay, there we go. Skipping past that. No, it's okay. It's okay because we just need the interview, right? We'll just get through the interview. There we go. Congratulations. Yep. Not going to lie, they had us in the first half. Youth and experience.
Of course, Kurt and Scott would be tag team champions.
Right. Good. Yep. All right. There we go. All right.
Look at baby-faced, dorky Kurt Hennig.
Yep. He dug down deep. He came to win, yes. San Dimas High School football rules. All right. And they got off. Okay. I think this is probably a good point to call it quits for this week. We're at 1 hour, 37 minutes, and 4 seconds.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business? The infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order. Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit. Give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
And, oh boy, hour three starts next week, and guess what we get, Jim?
Dude, we got the Freebirds and the Road Warriors. That's a great match.
That is a heck of a way to start it off. Yeah. For next week. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be wrapping up, and at hour four, I guess we'll be wrapping up the entire Super Clash show. But yeah, we got that next week. Geez, what else do we have next week? I want to say, I'm not going to worry about it right now.
We got two world title matches, and we have Flair and then Flair and Magnum.
That's hour four, isn't it?
Okay. Do we have Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah, that's it. It's the America's title, Slaughter and Boris Zukov, if I remember correctly.
That's a main event in a small high school anywhere in Minnesota.
Absolutely. That plus a whole lot more. And obviously, folks, you should go ahead and check us out online. I am at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. So you can visit us on Twitter, and also go to facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. And by the way, leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. It doesn't matter what podcast you get us from. It all amounts to the same thing. And if you'd like to know more, which I'm sure everybody would like to, about Little Mr. T, Little Tokyo, Jimmy Garvin, Kerry Von Erich, or Big Scott Hall, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or to the Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app, because they're all in books. Jim?
Next week, the Road Warriors against the Freebirds. Did the Freebirds win the world title? Very controversial. We'll talk about it, and we'll see it next week. Same way back time, same playback channel.
In the meantime, you can all enjoy your ladder matches, and thank you very much for listening to the show, patronizing the show. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. But until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.